The point of The Sims is to pursue your dreams, to be a playboy, to build a mansion, to get $1 billion, not to eat and sleep and pee in the toilet.
So, Joe, it sounds like your dream is to become Hugh Hefner. Is that what you're saying?
Well, now that you put it that way, you know.
Yeah, you got to put the dots together in your head. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Haley, but my internet name is Lavender Town, and I do art on the internet.
Hello, and welcome to the first podcast. 107,000 people can't be wrong. I'm your host, Lars, the number one cure for erectile dysfunction, and with me, as always, is America's boyfriend, co-host Joe.
Hi.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, as well as patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit later. Now, Lavender Town, before the episode started, you were telling us a little bit about what it's like to be the physical manifestation of a Pokemon location. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Of course. Well, it's a little bit spooky, obviously, because it's Lavender Town, but otherwise it's just good gamer fun, you know?
Why Lavender Town in particular, by the way?
Because basically the name came about because I loved scary things and I loved like cute nostalgic stuff. So I was just like, combine. And then that was basically the whole story. Yeah.
Why not Magenta Town or Lavenderville?
Well, it's not Lavenderville in the game. So.
Yeah, Joe, fake fan confirmed. Have you ever even played Pokemon Blue?
What?
Wow. Fake gamer boy.
In Pokemon Red and Blue, there's a town called Lavender Town.
What, Iman?
Ooh.
No, I'm just joking. Obviously, I'm familiar.
I don't know if I can do this podcast anymore.
Ooh.
No, just joking.
That's kind of cringe, bro.
Getting the bad ones out of the way.
Yeah. All right, Joe, the floor is yours.
So, you recently made a video, if game controllers were cute girls.
Oh, yes.
And you continued your series where you turn random stuff into cute character designs. In the past, you've transformed candy, drinks, apps, consoles, holiday, zodiac signs, planets, tea, Bigfoot, the seven deadly sins, and much, much more. Are you able to tell us what's next in the series? And have you considered turning things into the cute co-hosts of the first podcast?
I hadn't, but I'll definitely put that on the list. As for which one's going to be actually next, I never really know what video I'm going to make until like the night before I have to upload it. So it's confidential even to me what's going to be next. But truthfully, I mean, the truth about that series is like it's impossible to parody because there's basically no... there's nothing that's like too dumb for me to tackle. Like literally someone made a parody video where they were saying they were going to turn Halloween candy into cute girls and they were like joking, but then I did the candy video after that. So yeah.
I feel like when you said I'll add that to the list, you had the same energy as I do when people say you should totally watch this show, and I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it on Netflix. Yeah, totally, 100%.
Yeah, I get a lot of suggestions. So there's quite a robust there's quite a robust list going.
It's a long list, but we're on there somewhere.
Oh yeah.
for sure.
Oh, of course.
I feel like I know it's the ultimate first world problem, but suggestion fatigue is like really starting to get to me, especially during the quarantine when, you know, people are like, "Oh, well, what should I watch?" And I have this endless list of things that just I'm never going to get around to it. And I almost feel like I should be honest with people. Like if someone says, oh, you should watch Better Call Saul, I should I feel like I should tell them, just shut up. I'm not going to do that. But I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
I have a similar thing when people just randomly send me songs like YouTube links of their favorite band to listen to. And It's like, I'm already listening to my own song. So you're basically mm-hmm. sending me the song, asking me to stop what I'm doing to listen to your song. And it's almost certainly not my style of music. So what I do is I listen to about 1 second of it and I send, oh, that sounds nice. And then they send me like, oh, do you want to hear more? And I can't say no because I'm too polite. So I say, sure. So they send it. I don't listen to it. And I wait a few minutes and I say, oh, that sounds nice too.
You set your timer first.
Is that awful of me to do?
Awful of you to continue to indulge their suggestions, or what do you mean?
Yeah, to pretend like I listened to it when I didn't even click the link. Oh, God.
Yeah, that does make you cut. I don't know. Like, there's like different ways to be an asshole. And I think you and I kind of represent like two sides of that coin. I don't know.
Two sides of the same asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Your inner asshole and your outer, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, Joe, we got to the poop section of the podcast real quick this time.
Oh, 7 minutes. Yeah, that's like a new record for us. Minutes.
God damn it. Okay, oh. You know what? This is not the poop podcast. This is the Lavender Town episode. Let's actually talk to our guest. Okay, so Haley, give us a little bit of a backstory to your channel.
So basically my channel started just as pure stress relief because I was in art school and it was about 1,000 times harder than I thought it would be. And I didn't realize, but they weren't, like, for the first 2 years, I wasn't allowed to draw anything that, like, I liked or that was my style. So basically the YouTube channel was just me, like, indulging myself and doing whatever I wanted. And I genuinely, I mean, it's interesting you bring up the name thing, but, like, I thought so little about the Lavender Town name because I did not think that my YouTube channel would ever be relevant in a way where I would have to think about it. Mm-hmm. So, it truly was just, like, a fun hobby. And then one of the videos started getting lots of views and I was like, oh, that's like fun and, you know, that's never going to happen again. And then it kept happening.
Yeah, I can really relate to that because, I mean, as our listeners probably are aware of at this point, the name of this podcast is the most throwaway name possible. Obviously, it's not the first podcast, but I was just like, I don't have a brand. I need a name. And then Joe really ran with it. So
I love the name.
I actually really like it.
I definitely ran with it.
Like, yeah, no, I don't dislike the name. It's a great name because, like, it invites confusion and argumentation naturally just when people hear it. So, I don't know.
Well, and that's how you succeed on YouTube. Like, controversy is it. So, like, if you can bake contention into the name, like, you're done. Like,
sowing chaos and discord.
Yeah.
At every corner.
It's easy to remember. Simple, nice. T1podcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of T1podcast.com, Joe, if people want to tune in to these episodes live, how can they do that?
Well, I feel like you already know the answer to it, Lars. It's discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Now, Haley, in an interview you did with C.S. Jones, you discussed a turning point for you when you decided to go to art school because it was a large commitment and it meant that you were deciding that that's what you wanted to do.
Yes.
Can you talk about your thought process leading up to that decision?
So basically I knew I wanted to do something creative since I was pretty young, like, but I was not really certain whether I wanted to go like the writing novels and screenplays route or the like art route. And I got much more into it like in my like, you know, middle high school years, but there is something like about saying that you want to be an artist. And then there's something else about like saying that you want to be an artist enough to spend like $50,000. So
it's a lot of dollars.
Yeah, that's like too many dollars. Like even in Canadian dollars, that was way too much. It really happened because I had a really cool mentor when I was in high school who just was a professional artist near me, and like that was already so inspiring because they kind of seem like unicorns. Like it's like an idea that's like fun to think about, but not like a real thing that you could actually achieve. So
yeah.
He encouraged me, and that's basically how I ended up taking that sort of leap into, you know, student debt for this.
Yeah. And a baby unicorn can weigh about 100 to 200 pounds. So that really is a large size.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about this on the server last night. Should we go into that, Joe? Because it's pretty...
No, that's not.
Okay. We had a pretty graphic discussion about shitting unicorns.
Oh, we're going into it anyway.
We can just tease that. We'll leave it at that. We don't need the details for that, Joe.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
All right, Joe.
Do you have any advice for somebody deciding what they want to do?
Like in general or specifically? Yeah, in general. Okay, so...
Just any decision.
Yeah, any well, decisions? Deciding what they want to do, like, career-wise. not just, like, what they want to do, like, for dinner. Like.
Well, I think the real trick to it is just, like, remember, like, imagine how long and, like, how long and tedious life is. And then think about, like, what would make this less terrible? Like, what would I like to be doing every day to make this, like, we, like, are excited about, like, living for 80 years? And I think that that's really the secret. Like, if even if you, like to draw or something, if it's not something that would get you excited to do it for, like, 6 hours a day, like, probably do something else. I think that's really it. Like, I think a lot of people really like the idea of being something, like being an actor, being an artist, being whatever. But just think about, like, the day-to-day, like, boring part of it. And if that still excites you, that's, you found your thing, I think.
Yeah, I thought about going to law school and becoming a lawyer, which I've thought about a lot throughout my life. But do I want to do it enough to, you know, go $200,000 in debt? I don't know. Do I want to do it for the rest of my life? Probably not. I'm not sure that there's anything that I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah. That, I mean, it is, it's long, hopefully, you know.
Hopefully.
Can't know for sure, but.
Unless you know something that I don't, like, oh, Joe, your life is. Are you?
That's some bad news for you, Joe.
Yes, I'm also psychic.
You are? Wow. That makes two of us, you and Lars.
Cool.
Funny stuff, Joe.
Did you always have support for wanting to be an artist, or were there obstacles that stood in the way?
Well, there were obstacles, but it wasn't from my family. My family was, like, aggressively supportive of everything that I wanted to do. Yeah, to the point where it's almost, like, frustrating. Like, you want to rebel and, like, be like, screw you, parents. But, like, they never let me do that because they were so nice and supportive all the time.
It's bittersweet.
Wait, when you say aggressively support, do you mean, like, here's your Wacom tablet?
You will pursue your dreams.
Or what are you talking about?
Basically, it's like, oh, I like to draw. And they're like, yeah, and you'll be the best ever. And it's going to be incredible for you. It's like, whoa, okay. that's a lot. Like, I mean, when I was in preschool, my mom saw a frog drawing that I drew. And my teacher was like, oh, this is very good. And my mom was like, I knew then she would be an artist. And it's like, it was a frog drawing a preschooler did. Like, let's calm down.
I remember once when I was about, I must have been about 14, 15, and I wanted to be an actor. And I told my dad I wanted to be an actor, and he was like,
mm-hmm. Well, you gotta be the star in the school plays.
I was like, and that was it. It was just like kind of like a neutral response. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of work.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
I won't do this.
That's very pragmatic.
Yeah, Joe has this thing where he'll think of something to do, and he has lots of these ideas, but like he'll Google it for 5 minutes. And then be like, okay, never mind. That's kind of how it goes.
I really get excited about a lot of different things. And then sometimes the excitement, where, like, I just kind of get bored of it. I don't know. I mean, there are certain things that I didn't get bored of. Like, I love to podcast and voice acting.
I think that is the thing that you don't get bored of is the important thing. Because, I think a lot of us hyperfixate on something. And it seems like, sorry, this LA airplane. My goodness.
Shut up, airplane.
Shut up, airplane.
Calm down. Don't go places.
We're recording a podcast.
There's disease out there.
Anyway. Don't spread the disease specifically right now.
Don't go to the airport.
Now.
Are you kidding me?
Is that airplane flying within 6 feet of another plane? That's not social distancing.
Oh, that's...
Exactly.
Are they the Blue Angels?
Yeah, rough. Oh, man, I totally lost my train of thought.
You were saying that the thing that you don't get bored of is the thing that
Yeah, basically. That's it.
Okay. Lars, did you have a follow-up question? Because I have another question that I can ask.
Well, I mean, I feel like I would add the caveat that it should be something productive as well, though.
Mm.
Because I can think of some, like, pretty jerk-off-esque activities for that I could want to do for 6 hours a day. But I said ask, Joe. I mean, like, just, you know, dicking around playing video games and stuff. And
that's something that I won't get. Yeah, just, like, lay in bed and play Adventure Capitalist.
Mm-hmm. Dude, in the internet age, you can monetize almost anything. It's a problem, actually.
Lars, we should start to live stream me playing Adventure Capitalist.
Yeah, instead of going out and making money in the world, Joe, let's play pretend. Yeah, exactly.
You can make quadrillions of dollars. Like, literally, quadrillions. Quadrillions.
Okay, so I similarly, The Sims, I really like that series, but I always reach a point where it's like at the end game where my character's like a max level streamer and an ultimate painter and a virtuoso violinist and everything. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what the fuck am I doing with my life? So I inevitably quit at that stage every time.
I use cheats.
Yeah, same.
So that I don't have to feed my Sims. They don't have to sleep. They can just work around.
What's the point of a Sims cheat? That defeats the whole purpose of the game, guys.
I want to pursue my dreams. I don't play a real life living simulator to have to sleep and eat, you know? That takes such a large chunk out of your day, Lars.
That's the game.
What do you gain? A level 10 skill set in painting, Lars.
Joe, that's like saying I want to play The Witcher 3 but without the combat. Like,
no, because
it's part of the experience.
The point of The Sims, and Haley, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
The point of The Sims is to pursue your dreams, to be a playboy, to build a mansion, to get $1 billion, not to eat and sleep and pee in the toilet.
So, Joe, it sounds like your dream is to become Hugh Hefner. Is that what you're saying?
Well, now that you put it that way, you know.
Yeah, you got to put the dots together in your head. Okay.
Type 5 in the chat if you agree with me that the point of The Sims is to live your dreams, not to eat, sleep, and piss in the toilet.
Yeah, it's not Valorant. It's wish fulfillment, I feel like, for a lot of people. But some people play it just to torture their Sims. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of Sims play styles out there.
No, there's only one.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what's really weird is every time I see an article online or something where someone's like, I tortured my Sims, they always assume that everyone else in the world does that.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, it's always like
no, I don't.
It's always like, what do you do to torture your Sims?
Why would I torture them? What does that say about me if I torture my Sims? I feel like that demonstrates some sort of sociopathy.
Armchair psychologists.
Yeah, maybe it's some desire to torture Sims, you know. I don't know. I mean, I feel like people do that, but...
Do.
Anyway. I do have another question. Because Haley, you recently did a video called My Reoccurring Nightmares. I have a reoccurring nightmare of my own. About the devil who forces me to ride in his Scion on PCH and smoke cigarettes on the beach before disappearing into the night forever.
What the fuck?
The devil's name? Dan Cameron.
I mean, what?
let's talk about your video.
Okay.
Yeah, was that like a reference
to
something?
Was that a reference to something? I didn't get it.
I don't... What do you mean?
No, never mind. You should draw it.
I think I might edit that part out, Joe, because it makes you sound like a complete buffoon.
No, you have to leave it in.
All right.
It's part of the podcast. You can't.
It's part of the lore forever.
Yeah.
Dan Cameron, the devil's name as it appears. I don't know.
What are you talking about, Joe?
What do you mean? This has been a reoccurring thing, Lars.
What is this? Joe, what is... let's just move on.
Let's move on.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that in, but,
Wow, someone in the chat just says, when does he not sound like a buffoon, though?
True.
Oh my gosh,
true.
The disrespect.
Called out by your own fan.
Incredible.
Fake fan. No, that'll make sense later. That'll make sense later, Lars.
Oh.
So, actually watching your reoccurring nightmare video.
Christ, Joe.
What?
Do you want me to ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I had a question about your recent video, but I forgot which one of the five things that you talked about, like your least favorite trends.
Mm-hmm.
One of them bothered me, but I forgot what they were. One of them was the tendency to kind of go lazy on the girls when it comes to I agreed with that one. Joe, distract our guest real quick.
Hey, this is a distraction, but have you ever played Farmville?
No, I play Stardew Valley instead.
Ooh, Stardew Valley. I've played that. What part are you at?
Well, I've played three different times. So at the current playthrough, I'm in fall of like the third year or something.
What is your favorite thing to do in that game? Do you like to farm, and do you explore in the cave, talk to the villagers?
Just petting the chickens is my favorite part. Yeah.
True.
It's very chill. I don't play to like get the most amazing looking farm. It's the same thing with Animal Crossing. Like some people have their whole like Animal Crossing town looking like modern Tokyo, and I'm like, I cannot. I just have flowers and trees everywhere. It's a disaster.
I remember what it was. Okay.
Okay.
So okay. One of your points was that people are kind of not super committed to making a character ugly, and they just kind of throw them in like a ponytail and glasses and a sweater. Yeah. So one of the things that I've actually observed is that it seems like it's fairly hard to draw a truly ugly character in animation or just in comics without making them look like exaggeratedly ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe why people are avoiding it. But like, I mean, it is a cartoon. They're either exaggeratedly beautiful or exaggeratedly ugly. You got to like pick one.
So you think that there's just, that's just like a natural part of it, and there's something you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's because if you drew someone really like realistically, and then they're in the world, I mean, that in a weird way would be kind of compelling, because it's like everyone else has anime eyes and you just have regular human eyes. That would be very strange. But yeah, I think you have to make it look sort of caricatured. And I think that might be why it feels wrong to do. But yeah, it's an interesting point, because a lot of the like fine issues and flaws that we have with ourselves are like, you don't draw those in cartoons anyway. So
you don't actually have spaghetti arms?
Like, yeah, no.
like parallel curvy lines of...
No, I wish.
You know, I used to have this thing where anytime that I drew people, I would always draw them as a balloon, where their head is like balloon shaped and there's just like a string coming down, and that's their body. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would have like Rayman floating hands.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool, to be honest.
Thank you. Yeah, that was like forever. I would just, anytime I drew people, it was always balloon people, and it would really weird people out.
Oh, that actually leads me to a question.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So what I see a lot on our Discord server, and I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to embarrass them, is that people tend to get stuck on kind of the same features and the same style when it comes to drawing characters. So I guess my question is, what's a good way to be able to branch out into different styles and drawing different things? Like, how do you get good practice with that?
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways you can do it, but one of the best ways for me, at least when I like notice I'm drawing the same thing over and over again, is to either try to draw the inverse of my style. So like whatever the rules of my style are, like big eyes, like small, you know, the face or whatever, you just try to do the like dramatic reverse of that, like do little tiny dot eyes and stuff like that. Try to create like your Nega style, like the actual opposite.
Nega style.
That can be kind of fun. And then also just like drawing something different, like a lot of the times your style will change just from drawing something else. So like if you usually draw animals, draw something that's not an animal, you know. That's typically what I do.
Do you have an example of a time where you drew the exact opposite and it really led you down a creative path?
Yes. Well, I mean, truthfully, my style now is kind of, I mean, it's very different from how I used to draw, especially in art school. Just because, I mean, pre-art school, I was very into, like, anime style and very interested in, like, I don't know, like, I wanted it to look relatively realistic as best as I could in high school or whatever. So, like, fully going in, like, my whole style was kind of created because I was like, oh, man, I'm sick of this. I don't want it to look like anime because the teachers are going to, like, get really, really annoyed at me. Yes. So I was like, okay, what can I do to make it look just completely different from what I usually draw? And then that became my style from this point forward.
Interesting.
Like, yeah.
Are there any styles that you still want to explore? Like, you know, comics, you know, I don't know, anything that you still haven't really delved into yet?
I mean, there's a lot of like mediums that I haven't really experimented with. I've kind of gotten like very settled in with digital. And so there's a lot of like stuff that I haven't really done in that regard. And then also, I mean, just going like in the spectrum of like realistic to simplification to exaggeration, like that's like a triangle, and like I've only been a few places in there, so I mean, mm-hmm. I'm always experimenting. I think your style never actually stops. It's
my
always
style?
Changing subtly. Yeah your style in particular.
Nice one, Joe.
Got him.
Wow, what a personal thing to say.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fluid. I feel like I'll have a new style probably within like a couple of years, and I won't even notice. Yeah.
Have you heard about the Vincent Van Gogh? It's a project where people would paint oil paintings in the style of his paintings.
Joe, isn't it Hoch, not Go?
I don't know. You'd probably know better than me, Lars, so let's take your word for it. But have you heard about this where over the course of maybe a couple years, they painted like 100,000 or so of these oil paintings and made a feature-length film
Loving
in
Vincent,
oil paintings.
Right? Yeah, I haven't seen it yet because it honestly stresses me out how much labor was involved. Like, I can't even begin to imagine what that must have been like. It looks amazing, though.
Is it one of those things where, like, if you watch it and don't like it, then...
Yeah, like, I've offended, like, 1,000 people and, like, invalidated their work. Yeah, it would be, like, a nightmare.
And then you would have no choice but to, like, trash it online and leave
terrible
reviews.
Mm-hmm. Become, like, a React channel and talk about how Loving Vincent's, like, the worst movie I've ever seen. Yeah. So I can't risk that.
You must never see it.
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen the Vincent episode of Doctor Who?
That is one of the only episodes of Doctor Who I've ever seen.
Yeah, Joe, you should check that out, even
Don't
if you're not a
do.
Fan of Doctor
I'm just
Who.
Just kidding.
It made me cry, and I wasn't even invested in the characters.
Exactly, yeah. Joe, if you ever want to like have a really good cry, because I know that you're into that,
that's
a good episode to watch.
Yeah, I love it. That's interesting.
It's like feels good cries. It's not like manipulative, this is so sad cries.
You know the, have you seen on Netflix, there's a new series called Hollywood.
I have not.
Lars, have you seen Hollywood?
I have not. I'm not convinced that this is actually a thing, Joe.
There's a mini series. It's like 7 episodes called Hollywood, and it is the best.
Someone in the chat actually look this up. I'm not sure this is actually a show.
Has anyone in the chat seen Hollywood? It is the best. It is so emotional.
Joe, are you thinking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, I'm thinking about Hollywood, Lars.
The place?
The Netflix miniseries, Hollywood.
Oh, it is a thing. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It is a thing. It's a thing. It's okay. Okay, Lars, thing. It's a real thing. It's a great show. I watched the whole thing in one sitting, Lars. I watched the whole thing in one sitting,
like,
and I loved
it.
Is it
a good show? Okay, what's it about?
It's about the Hollywood scene post-World War II, when about 4 or 5 people are pursuing their various dreams in Hollywood, whether it's to become an actor, a screenwriter, director. And without giving too much away, they basically are forced to undergo these challenges, to go through these challenges in order to pursue their dream. And it is such a great miniseries. I watched the whole thing in one sitting.
I've never heard of any of these people. David Cornsweet? Darren Criss? Patty LuPone?
Zac Efron's
who?
In it. And
okay.
The guy who
if
played...
If he's in it.
What's his name? The guy who played...
The super helpful Joe.
The Big Bang Theory. The guy who played Sheldon.
Oh, the Big Bang Theory. Okay.
The Big Bang Theory guy. Okay?
Yeah, Bing Bong. Yeah.
God, you're making me so stressed out, Lars.
I feel like Zac Efron got a bad rap when he was younger. I feel like he is more talented than we thought.
I don't know how you could get more talented than Troy Bolton, but okay, go off.
I wasn't making any comparisons.
I love that phrase, go off.
Like
I love that phrase.
I
say go off
actor.
To people when I'm... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think he's a better actor than High School Musical would lead you to believe.
17 again was good.
Kind of like, you know how Robert Pattinson did the Twilight movies and everyone kind of wrote him off?
I met him.
Mm-hmm. You met
him? He's a really good actor.
I met him. Yeah, I didn't know who he was until after. He came up to me at my job, and I talked to him for like a few, like probably like 15 seconds. I didn't know who he was, and then walked away.
He was like, "Yo, I'm Robert Pattinson." You're like, "Okay."
No. He comes up. He's like, "Blah blah blah." I work in a place, and he comes to the place to do the stuff that he's doing there, and he leaves, and then somebody's like, you know who that was, right? And I was like, no. And they were like, that was Robert Pattinson. And I was like, oh shit, really? It was totally Robert Pattinson. Anyway, Zac Efron's good. You made a video. Before I move on, I love the phrase go off. I use it when I'm having Facebook arguments with people and they say something dumb. So I'm just like, go off.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. It just reminds me of the whole slay queen culture, which is just like makes me want the yes people.
But it's like the opposite of yes. It's like no.
It's nonchalant. Yes is over the top. Go off is like dismissive.
Yeah, you can't.
Joe, you had like a year period of your life where you said yes all the time, and
I had a 2 week period. Two weeks, Lars. 2 weeks.
It felt like a year. It felt like a year.
To me too. To me too. How do you think I felt?
Awful.
It was awful.
Oh,
and that was your go-to on the never podcast talk about this. Too. Like when you didn't have anything to say, you'd just be like, yes.
You remember when Johnny K came over and I ran out of questions to say and I just kept...
We have improved as interviewers. Let me just put it that way. as opposed to saying the opposite. Joe.
Yeah.
An ambulance just went by my house. I'm a little bit concerned. I feel like I should listen to an audiobook.
Oh, to relieve you of the stress.
Yeah.
Audiobooks are known to do that, Lars.
They are.
And you know what else? There's a whole library of them on Audible's collection. That's right. Yeah. Audible is owned by Amazon, so you have access to Amazon's entire collection as well.
Joe, are you a castrated deer?
No, I'm not a castrated deer, Lars. Why?
Why
do you ask?
That's your energy level right now, bud. Let's get excited for Audible. Audibletrial.com/T1podcasts is going to give you a free book today.
A free book, Lars? Well, gee, what do I have to do to earn this book? Sign up and spend some money?
No. Well, sign up, yes. Spend money, no.
Ooh, wow. What a great surprise, Lars. Oh, this is wonderful news. Oh, I cannot wait to listen to my free audiobook at audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Wow, Lars.
Someone in the chat says, what if I'm deaf? Well, then just, like, read an actual book at that point. But if you're able to listen to audiobooks and you want to get into the world of audiobooks, go ahead and check out audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Get a free book on our behalf. Tell them we sent you.
audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Get a free book today.
Haley, have you ever read a book?
Once or twice, yeah.
Okay.
She's an artist. She's not a book person, okay?
You know, that's
kind of insulting, Joe.
That's actually something that one of the administrative people said to us while we were at art school. They implied that we went to art school because we were like bad at regular school, and I was quite offended.
Wow, that is. I'm sorry if I've offended you.
It's all right. It's reopened an old wound, but that's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, someone in the chat just said they're milking this cow way too much with this sponsor. Yeah, the sponsor at audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast. And you know what, Lars? You know what else?
Yes.
When that person in the chat has their own podcast and their own sponsors, they get to milk it the amount that they want to.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Go off. You've recently, Haley, you've recently made a video on whether or not a picture is really worth 1,000 words, where you attempted to illustrate a book out of, shit. Let me start over. You made a video on whether or not, let's just move on. We'll circle back to this one.
Okay.
Christ.
No, let me give it one more go. But in all seriousness, Haley, you've recently made a video on whether or not a picture is really worth 1,000 words, where you attempted to illustrate a picture out of a book using 1,000 words of that book. And you had mentioned that 1,000 words is more than you think because it's about 2.5 pages or so. My question is this. Have you ever tried the other way around, where you take 1,000 pictures and try to describe them all using one word?
No, but that should be the next video, right? Like,
is that something that you would consider? Would you commit to that now for your very next?
I commit to nothing, but I mean, it might go on my Trello board. I'm not above it.
That was the correct response. Good job.
I'm just kidding. I don't. I just think it's funny to ask people to commit to ridiculous things.
Yeah. Once in a while, Joe, you'll do that on the show. You'll be like, so can you start a podcast with me, guest? And just
I've never asked a guest to start a podcast with me. What I just like to
just be a really awkward person.
Not awkward. I just like to be ridiculous. And okay. I actually take offense to that, Lars. So.
Oh man.
Do you have any insights about what you learned trying to illustrate 1,000 words?
My primary insight from that was that it sounds good in the title, but it's not that interesting of a video. That was my primary takeaway from that one. It was really cool to do, but mostly it was a huge failure because it's just not super doable, especially with Victorian prose, which, was not maybe the best choice, but
how do you illustrate that really?
Yeah, illustrating prose is pretty difficult because they're throwing around adjectives and adverbs they have a word count to fulfill.
Do you think it's the equivalent of double spacing the periods?
yeah, exactly.
Changing the font size from 12 to 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bumping up the spacing of the sentences a little bit. Yeah.
You know what occurred to me when I was in, I would say this, I'm aging myself here, because there was a time where you had to type out the word count but it was before you would send in the file. So the teacher would have no way to verify if that was the actual word count. You would just have a cover page like words, 1204. You could just lie. They're not going to count.
Oh, man. I was such a goody two shoes. I never would have done that. But
I never did do that, but I could.
Why not? If you thought of it.
Because I liked writing and I didn't have a problem, but it occurred to me.
Yeah. Dang, dude.
I could just say this is 1500 words.
Well,
it's only,
yeah.
There's a natural limit on that at some point, though.
It's 20,000 suspicious words.
Yeah, you've typed a paragraph and it's like 1,000,000 words, and maybe not, Joe, but
I don't know.
No, but in order to find out whether or not a picture is really worth 1,000 words, check out the video that Haley posted on March 29th of this year. I'm not going to give anything away.
I'll just link it in the chat or in the show notes.
All right. In your video from last year, expensive versus cheap drawing tablets, you talk about the difference between good and bad designs, the value of the drawing tablets, whether or not you should get a used one.
Oh.
It might seem obvious to some listeners, but I'm curious, what would you say are the main differences between a drawing tablet and a regular iPad or something?
First of all. So it used to be that a drawing tablet was the only professional way to be a digital illustrator. Things are not that way anymore. Procreate's gotten so good, and the iPad with not to sound like an ad, but the Apple Pencil is really, really good now. It used to be that you couldn't even get pen pressure on these tablets, and it was a nightmare. So now the differences are a lot smaller. Basically, the only real difference is the real drawing tablets are much more expensive for less utility. If you need to do your work on the computer, it's probably better to just, buy a drawing tablet. But yeah, I'm thinking in the future they might become kind of obsolete because it's sort of being baked into, it's like calculators. Who's going to buy a calculator when you have one in your phone, unless you're in a really serious math class or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I remember.
Okay.
I remember I had a calculus class at one point in college, and I was able to download one of the calculators instead of using an actual calculator. They costed at least $100 for some 1980s calculator. Yeah. And he was so impressed with me that he was just like, just keep it on airplane mode and you're okay. So
I remember
Before we move on, Joe, speaking of that video, by the way, I actually watched it and it kind of blew my mind at one point, because this is something that you probably don't think about anymore, but I just didn't realize that some tablets didn't have a screen on it.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that either.
That must be so weird to draw, but you're not actually you don't actually see, you see the screen on this. That's just my brain can't process that.
Well, and if your brain can't process that, wait until you hear that I have a screen tablet, and I still prefer to use the one without the screen because...
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to process that. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, no, because the Cintiq was destroying my back and neck and shoulders you have to sort of Schmeagle-like style, curl your body around it. And if you're doing that for like 12 hours a day, it's like you'll end up like in your early 20s and you have like horrific back pain. So I've gotten used to just using the one without the screen. But truthfully, like I started using a non-screen tablet when I was 14. And so now I'm like, it's like using a computer mouse. Like you don't need to look at the mouse to figure out where the you know, pointer is going to go.
I'd like to get to a point where I don't have to look at the mouse to know where the pointer is going to go.
One day, man. You'll get there.
What? That sounds awful. Literally destroying your back and neck. Like the literal devil, Dan Camoran. That's weird.
Oh, it was foreshadowing. I get it now.
I still don't get the joke, but...
No.
Would you recommend a drawing tablet to somebody who only draws recreationally sometimes? Or are they more suited to somebody who wants to draw on a more professional level?
I mean, there's some that are quite cheap now, and if you're willing to, get like, you know, get used to the fact the ones without the screens, I think it's totally like fine to do if you're doing it as a hobby. It'll definitely, like, if you're drawing with a mouse in the computer, like, don't do that. That will also really hurt you. Like, it's not designed for that, and you'll like mess up your wrist. I don't recommend like dropping like $1,000 on a screened like Cintiq or something like that even if you're a professional, frankly, these days. Like I just don't see the utility of it if there's like tablets that are much cheaper and can do a lot more.
But what are some of the main benefits of owning an actual drawing tablet if you are, let's say, a professional?
So like primarily it's like, you know, you can get a much bigger screen than like, say, your Surface or your iPad or whatever. So you have a lot more space. You can do like, better strokes, like, you know, more drawing space is usually good. And
more drawing space.
Yes. And, there's also like buttons on the side and stuff that you can program with your like Command Z, your undos and all that kind of stuff. So that's really useful too. I mean, if you're drawing all the time, you can really get used to a tablet and it can make things a lot faster. But I have found, because I've gotten used to one that didn't have the buttons, now I don't use them anymore because I like just having my hand like resting on the keyboard and using the keyboard shortcuts because, yeah, there's a lot more.
You had talked a lot about buttons in your video as well. What are some of the things that you use the buttons for the most?
So it's usually like undo, redo, and like make a new layer. Those are usually the ones I use. Sometimes I put like a right click on the buttons of the pen just so I don't have to like stop and grab the mouse.
It seems to me like efficiency is a big part and a big selling point for tablets, which makes me a little bit confused because when I watched that video, it seemed to me like a lot of tablets and a lot of drawing programs don't have like some of the obvious features that you think they would in terms of efficiency.
Yeah, you have no idea. Like I honestly, I don't understand why, like particularly drawing programs are like, when you first open them up, it's like they're designed to discourage you. Like, I don't know anybody, like anybody who uses a drawing program with the settings as they like open up, like the way that they default come up when you click them. So like every time I learn a new program, and every time I did when I was a kid, like you have to figure out like, oh, what like useless garbage do you have to like close out of and remove and like move this up here? And it's just like, yeah, it's like they don't do any testing on like how users would actually use the program.
What are some of the worst, like weirdest functions that they've built in that it's like, why would anybody want this?
Well, it's a lot of like really specific color grading stuff. I'm like post-processing stuff. And I'm just like, what, why would I understand in Photoshop, like technically Photoshop is a picture editing program. So that's why there's a lot of like really weird stuff that like I've never used in my life. But yeah, it's usually like post-processing stuff or like really specific like levels editing kind of things that just they're not useful. Like they just make it confusing for beginners. So yeah.
Okay. Is your current recommendation still to Procreate?
I love Procreate. Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's limitations on it still, but they're working really hard, it seems like, to keep adding stuff. Like back when it didn't have text, I definitely didn't take it as seriously because like I can't do my comic in there, so I'll never be able to use it. Yeah. But like now it's like it's a no-brainer. I also love Clip Studio, but I'm still getting used to that one.
It seems to me like there is potential for an app in the market of some sorts that's modular and just has all of the features available and lets the user choose exactly which ones they want, putting them in the exact places that they want.
I mean, truthfully, a lot of them do kind of work like that. Like you can yank the tabs out and close them, which is like, I mean, it's the ritual that everyone has to do when they open it up. So fortunately, like you can do that. There's certain things like in the toolbar that like I never use, like there's a vector pen and stuff, and I just don't like vector stuff, you know? So I would love if I could like remove some of the tools that I don't like. I like a very clean interface, but yeah, it would be cool if it was like fully, you know, fully modular. That would be really, really sick.
So if anyone wants to do that, if you listen to it, just go ahead and give us 50% of the royalties and that should be fine.
Yeah.
We've theoretically copyrighted this.
I don't know if theoretical copyright counts.
It's a theoretical copyright.
Yeah.
Do you play any instruments?
I used to. I used to play the flute in jazz band. Very cool, I know.
I play the harmonica.
Oh, sick.
A little bit. I actually have a little, I'd like to play a little song.
Oh, beautiful. Go for it.
One day the devil comes, his name Dan Cameron. When the sunrise meets the earth and wrath has finally come. It's a little...
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I went ahead and Googled this, and I still can't find anything about it. I don't understand the joke at all.
There's no joke. Dan Cameron is literally...
Is it a song? No.
It's not a joke. I'm talking about literally Lucifer in the flesh, Lars.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we can move on from that.
Sure. In a in a TikTok video that you created in December 2019, you used the caption, "I was a Neopets kid, not gonna lie." And I think Lars and I were both also Neopets kids.
Nope.
No?
No, I mean, I was very much aware of what it was, but just didn't. Yeah.
Did you... No, well, first let me ask you this. What were your favorite things to do in Neopets?
Okay, well, so I was a Neopets card collector as well as playing the game. I loved it. I didn't know how to play the card game, but I was obsessed with the little cards. And then I also just loved to, like, I love to, like, take care of my Neopets, like, as if... Here's the thing that's weird in that is, like, if you want to make them not hungry or whatever, you can literally feed them anything that's classified as a food, but, like, I would go to the effort of, like, trying to make them, like, delicious and balanced meals and stuff. Mm. I was, like, so stupid. I wasted so many Neo points. And I just... I love the games as well. I don't know. It was...
Yeah,
they were really good time.
Did you ever play Cheat?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I got the gold. Not to brag, guys, but nice. You know, I got the gold, the little statuette thing for winning Cheat.
Nice. I might have also. I played it a lot, and I remember winning some trophies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I ever got the gold or anything, but that was.
Yeah, I looked back recently to see like when I made my account, and I literally made it when I was like 8 years old. So like that is one of my earliest like computer memories. Like is just like playing Neopets.
I made mine in I must have been 2002 or 2003. So probably 2003, which was they started in 99 apparently.
Really?
December 1999.
That is so early.
Did you know that Neopets was run by Scientologists?
Oh my God! Tell me you're joking. Say psych. That's the worst thing
I've ever. I am completely serious.
No.
Yeah, we talked about this on the Project SNT episode where it's not literally just them, but the people who were designed, I think, to design the website and to promote it and stuff hid a bunch of little Scientology references in there.
The guy who owned Neopets Inc., what was his name? Something Doring, was a... He founded Neopets Inc. after being introduced to the Neopets.com site by a mutual friend as an investor.
Because
they were expanding too quickly and they needed somebody to be the CEO.
They needed some spooky money, like scary cult money. Cool.
Basically, well, they were growing too fast, so they needed an investor. And he would frequently argue with them about actually introducing Scientology into the site, mm-hmm. of oh which the God. Actual founders adamantly refused.
Well, that's good at least. Jeez.
I did quite a bit of extensive research on this just before this interview, and it turns out that Doug Doring utilized L. Ron Hubbard's trademark business model, Org Board, while overseeing the company, which he claims that it's the technology used by society 80 trillion years ago.
Oh, boy. Well, so, L. Ron Hubbard is the founder of Scientology, for reference.
But this model is actually not ethical because basically it encourages the employees to be spied on and to be reported to the executives for any pertinent information.
So if you've ever had a day where you woke up and you thought, you know what, maybe Scientology ain't that bad. That was subliminally placed in your head
by
Neopets as a kid.
Yeah, to quote somebody named Powell, although it was often a fun work environment during the early days, they did have frequent Vegas trips, gaming tournaments, and eating competitions, Scientology always loomed in the background. A lot of employees were uncomfortable with the whole Scientology thing, especially since the test they gave new employees had copyright L. Ron Hubbard at the bottom of each page. And Powell said, I think there was something of a them versus us feel to the office.
They're definitely going to make like a dramatic Netflix, like 3-part series about this eventually.
Ooh, I would watch
they?
The shit out of that.
Right?
I would binge watch it in one sitting.
Right? Mm. Yeah.
Just like Hollywood.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe, you said this was someone named Powell. Is that that's literally their only name?
Hold on. I copied and pasted the article. Let me see.
It's one of those one-name people like Cher or Bono or Billie Eilish.
The part of the article that I was reading was from another part of... maybe he's the devil, Dan Cameron. I don't know.
This is such a forced new thing, Joe.
What are you talking about?
I like the commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment to a bit, but the bit is bad.
What are you talking about?
Okay. All right. Let's just move on.
Wait,
way,
before
we
move on,
questions?
Sorry, yeah? 1 second. I just need to know what Neopets you had.
I didn't really collect the Neopets.
You can't have an account without a Neopet.
I had Neopets, but I didn't check up on them. And I felt bad because it was like, you haven't fed them in 1,500 days.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I would just give them the free omelet, if anything.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Very early on.
They still have the omelet. Don't ask me
from
how
the
I
omelet
know.
Tree.
Oh, you know what just occurred to me? Maybe that guilt was based on the culty thing that, like, things
my
like Scientology
God.
Do. Like, you gotta go check up on them.
But they never die because they don't believe in like permanent death, and that's why they just live and suffer and need food the whole time.
But even though they can't die, the implication is that they're starving. So it's like you have to keep going back.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right. Yes. Because if you have it in your subconscious, my Neopet is starving, it's going to make you say to yourself, I've got this nurturing element that I need to use to feed my Neopet today, now. Although now that's transformed into something of patreon.com/T1podcast.
We'll go ahead and talk about that later. Yep. Okay.
Well... we've talked about Neopets. We've talked about the videos.
A long silence. Holy
we
shit.
Talked quite extensively on, you know, so.
Oh, Haley, is there anything that you've been dying to talk about that we just haven't really gotten to?
No, we already did the thing about Neopets, so I'm good.
Oh, okay.
That was it, right? That was the main reason that you came on the show.
That's what I came on for.
Oh, do you have anything coming up in the pipeline that you'd like to maybe hint at or tease?
I don't think I'm supposed to say anything, but like,
what? Okay.
We're not going to pressure you.
So that's the tease. Like,
well, let's just put it this way. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stuff is coming up.
Yes.
It sounds like there's something in the pipeline.
Yeah.
The channel is not over otherwise. In other words.
Yeah. No.
There's upcoming.
Something, I'll say something not video related. So that's exciting.
Do you think that anime? I've noticed this. I don't know why. Have you noticed that animators can get away with longer breaks in between posting videos?
Yeah, I've noticed that. It's because I think that their content is really good, and I think people are willing to wait for that. I wish I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like the thing that we haven't really understood is the income gap.
Yeah.
Which I wonder how they do it.
Well, yeah, especially because a lot of them don't take as many sponsorships. I really don't get it because, like, if I take a break for like a week, my ad revenue is like, there's like a chunk missing. So it's like,
exactly.
Yeah, like, I don't know how they manage. It would give me like such a panic too because YouTube decides to punish you for that like at different levels each time. So, like, I'm just, you know, they call it the treadmill for a reason. It's like pretty brutal.
Speaking of milking sponsors, Joe, audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Get your free audiobook today on our behalf.
audibletrial.com/T1podcast. What's that URL again, Lars?
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Have you ever been recognized in... last question. I always like to ask this to our larger content creators. Have you ever been recognized in real life?
Yes, it happens more than you would think. My most favorite time that happened was I was at Universal Studios, just like chilling. I was all, you know, sweaty and gross from being in the amusement park. And I was in their like weird, like, do you know their like steampunk chocolate factory thing that they have near there? Do you know?
I think so. Are you talking about the one in California?
It's in Florida, I think. I don't remember. Anyway. The point is, I was at this weird Gitchy restaurant thing, and I was in the gift shop, and a girl, like a younger girl, I think she was probably like 15 or 16, she looked at me across the crowd, and I didn't know, I wasn't in the mindset of like, oh, YouTube stuff, you know, so I didn't know why she was staring at me, and then she burst into tears without saying anything to me, and like, went into the corner, and I did not know what happened. And then her friend came up and was like, she's a huge fan, would you talk to her? And that was like, that was the most like the most famous I've ever felt in my entire life.
Wow. That is incredible.
She was such a sweet kid, but like, yeah, I was like, I was so confused because I was like, what did I do? Like, this child is crying and I have no idea why.
You made her cry despite just your sheer presence.
Yeah, that's never happened before or since though. So like, usually people are just like, hey, your voice sounds kind of familiar. And it's like, ah, yeah. That's usually the extent.
When I do get recognized, it's from TikTok. And when people recognize me, it's almost always the same. They stare at me for a while and they point at me and mutter to their friends like, that's the guy from TikTok. And then they never talk to me.
Oh, that's the worst. Cause you're like, cause there's nothing you can do in that scenario, right? Like you just like, oh, all right, well.
I'm not going to go up to them and be like, did you recognize me?
I'm a celebrity.
Joe, maybe you should.
You should be like, hey, I expect you to come over and ask for an autograph. Like, come on, man.
Take a picture. It'll last longer.
Yeah.
Or Joe, you should just identify yourself as like the wrong content creator. You should be like, yep, I'm PewDiePie, guys. That's right.
It's me, Markiplier.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Haley, speaking of Markiplier, have you been watching...
Oogus. No, I've heard so much about it, but I haven't been watching a lot of YouTube lately, actually.
Okay. So Markiplier is one of those guys that, like, back in the day, he used to be kind of cringe, but 2020 Markiplier is actually really funny, and he's doing this, he's doing a channel with this guy named Ethan, where for a year, they do really stupid shit every day, like every single day, like,
wow.
Or really interesting stuff. Like they'll go to a glass blowing facility and learn how to do it, or they'll tase each other, or they'll do like a birth simulator. And the deal is they're going to do it for a year and then they're going to delete the entire channel and not have an archive of it. So it's like, you had to be there to experience it. It's really interesting. I highly recommend checking it out.
Okay, I definitely will. I did hear that they were making some sort of like collaborative project that would be deleted after the fact. And I was like, that is one of the smartest marketing things I've ever heard. Like, that's really good.
That's this, yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Unus Honest. That's spelled UNUSANNUS. That's honest, not anus.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we had a couple people say they wanted to give a live question, but I got to scroll back up because we kind of diverged. Yeah, in the chat, someone says someone random has got to be archiving it. Yeah, some people are going to break the spirit of it, but what can you do? Okay, Mango Dragons? I think it is. Okay. Mango Dragons, you are up.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Heidi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Heidi. Thanks for joining us.
If Apple had a car, or like made a car, would it have windows?
All right. Thanks for coming on, Mango. Let's get to the next one. Okay. By the way, should we take the joke question seriously and actually answer that?
I mean, I think it... So my thoughts on this are like, well, the computers have... like, they're named after the windows in the thing. So probably, but then... Then I think about it, and I think they're probably self-driving if Apple's going to make, like, they're too bougie for, like, a regular car, so maybe they wouldn't. Like, you don't even need it, because it's going to drive for you. That's my thought.
Well, you still want to be able to see the road, like, because then you can manually override.
I want to see IMAX movies. Manually override. Look.
Well, this is why you should not own one of those cars, but yeah. Okay. Okay, next up is Chimp. Chimp, you're unmuted.
Oh, shit. Hi, my name is Chimp.
Thanks for coming on.
One thing I wanted to ask is when you're doing you ever get in that feeling of like getting bored while drawing? How would you overcome, say, getting demotivated during art? Like, how would you deal with it?
So that's a really good question, because that happens to me constantly. Like, when you've been doing this as long as I have, there's a lot of points at which you sort of get bored. Typically, I get myself in this mindset of like, either I finish it now or I'm going to have to like restart it and do it over later. And I think that just comes from doing it as a job. Like you get to a point where like, you know that if you like stop midway, you'll never come back to it. And then that's making more work for yourself down the road. So that's how I deal with it. As a hobbyist, I think I just stopped like whatever the thing was. Like the moment inspiration left me, I was like, all right, that's a sketch forever.
All right. Thanks, Chimp.
Thank you for coming on and asking your question.
Let's go ahead and get CMDR, Commander.
CMDR.
Commander Zonaflaw.
Right. You're unmuted.
Howdy. Can y'all hear me?
Howdy.
Hey, yeah. Dude. Thanks for tuning in.
Howdy. Hey, I'm Captain Carl Larson. I just had a quick question for Lavender Town. Mm-hmm. Do you personally attribute your success and challenges to the literal devil, Dan Cameron?
<All right. laughs> Nice one, but that was I would not have seen that coming in a million years. Good job.
And yes, of course.
Do you have an actual question, bud?
No, that was my question.
Thank you for your question.
Okay, thank you. Siga Migs is next.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Haley.
Hey, first time I heard your voice.
Yeah. What was the video that made you realize, like the first video that made you realize that maybe YouTube could be like a real thing for you?
Like the first. Oh, that's a really good.
Your most like a bunch of views like out of nowhere.
So I think it was like the second one that hit it big. Like I had one that did kind of well and I was really excited about it, but it didn't feel real. I think it was my first like do this, not that video. That one, because it was a series and I could see myself continuing it and I saw sort of the enthusiasm for it. That was the one where I was like, wait a minute, like, could this actually be like a thing for me? Like, yeah, I think it's gotta be that one, either the inking or the coloring. Do this, not that really got me thinking about being a YouTuber full time.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
But yeah.
Thanks, Sigamigs.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
All right. By the way, a big F in the chat for Squidly, who didn't make the cutoff, didn't get to answer his, or didn't get to ask his question.
No.
Oh, now I feel bad. Let's let him on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Right. Squidly, you're unmuted.
Oh, hi.
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 Two things, actually.
Remember to introduce yourself.
Oh, right.
You come on the show, you don't introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Rude.
Go ahead. I'm happy.
Go off.
Okay. So, first of all, does Mike Wazowski wink or blink?
Whoa.
Whoa. That really got me thinking. I think it depends. It depends on the intent. That's the only way to figure it out.
Okay.
You have to ask every time. Yeah.
You had a second question?
Okay. Second, I just wanted to say Lavender Town is my biggest art inspiration, and I'm very grateful for her.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For her, like you're telling this to me and Lars? Because you know she's here. You can talk directly to her.
No. I don't know what I'm saying. Sorry, I'm nervous on mic.
That's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah, thank you. That's really sweet.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on and asking your question.
By the way, just wanted to put this out there to our audience. If you've ever wanted to call in and give a question to our guests, but you're nervous about it, just remember, this is almost everyone's first time doing that. So even if you mess up or anything, it's fine. Like, that's natural. We want you to come on here and give interesting questions. We really appreciate it. So thanks, everyone who's come on.
Yeah,
seriously. And yeah.
It's my first time on it. Feel like... Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is my first time on a live podcast, so I'm kind of in the same shoes.
Oh, well, this is Lars and my first time as well.
Yeah. So, oh, wow. You know, it's a new experience.
You guys
all
are doing great.
Thank you. Yeah, the previous 100-some-odd episodes have just been with a stand-in. This is actually the first time that we've done the interviewing.
So what I did is I recorded a bunch of my voice clips and Joe recorded a bunch of his. And then just over hours, I slaved away and combined them all together.
Yeah, it would have been way easier. It would have been way easier to just do it live without having to do like a soundboard of sorts and Frankenstein it together. Yeah. But it gives us more control that way.
Yeah, like exactly. The soundboard the size of a dining table, probably a little tricky. But.
Well, that's why I asked you all those questions about the literal devil himself, Lucifer, and the skin Dan Cameron.
Oh, you kept hitting that button. I understand.
Right.
That makes sense.
Interesting quandary for the audience, by the way, is are we still using sound clips?
Of which the answer is...
No.
No.
No. Okay. Joe, I feel like we should flesh this out with like one more segment at least.
Sure. Flesh what out?
The episode of the podcast.
Okay. Let's talk about... I don't know. What do you want to talk about for either of you?
Well, let's talk about a Lavender Town related topic.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk too much. We've avoided talking about the coronavirus because it kind of becomes a repetitive topic. Mm-hmm. But what has your experience been with the quarantine, being a YouTuber? I'm assuming it hasn't affected you that much.
You're assuming she doesn't go out in public much, Lars, is what you've just said.
Yeah. I'm assuming you don't go around coughing on people and just like sneezing in grocery stores. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
You're making wildly dangerous assumptions, Lars.
Truthfully,
I'm assuming she's a productive member of society who doesn't want to spread disease and bile to the nation, Joe.
Assumptions make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, that's true. No, the truth is, okay, so this wouldn't have been a big deal, probably. I mean, as much as it is for... You know, like, it is true. I didn't used to go out all the time. So, like, I work from home. It's not changed. But I did move 1 week before quarantine hit to LA. And that was the wildest thing to happen the first week that you're in a new state and a new place. Because I had been living in my hometown, my cozy little hometown with my family, like, down the block. And I was like, oh, LA is going to be so fun. Like, I'm going to be able to, like, go to all these places and, like, try more than, like, 5 restaurants and, you know, not be in a tiny town. And then immediately was like, quarantine, stay inside. This is your life now.
Global lockdown. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, interesting. That's cool.
I just made $5.
Anyway, congratulations.
Yeah.
How'd you do that, Lars?
Through details of my personal life that I don't want to give.
No, give. I'm just kidding.
Nope.
That's exciting. Where are you from, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm from a little town in Idaho. Yeah, so...
Like, Idaho, the potato place.
Yeah, that's all they got. Yeah.
When I was in fourth grade,
I
did...
thing to say, Joe.
What?
I feel like it's probably one of those things where if you're from Idaho, it must get so repetitive. Like, You're like, I'm from Idaho. Potatoes!
Oh, potatoes!
Look, I mean, it's better than, I don't know. Idaho's known for some bad stuff, too. So, like, if potatoes is all that comes to mind, that's great, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm from New Jersey, so anytime I mention that, the garbage can of the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The smelly armpit of the of
America's
the
dumpster.
The dumpster of the dumpster fire.
Uh-huh.
Although I will say that anytime we have a guest on from New York, I do like to tease them a little bit and say, oh, you're from New York? Me too. And like, oh, what part? Where are you from? I'm like, I'm from New Jersey. And they go, oh.
Oh, you're not really from New York. You're from New Jersey.
Well, it goes beyond that because the tradition is that New York is not very fond of New Jersey. So, a lot of people actually live there but work in New York because it's cheaper. And so it's kind of has established as kind of a stigma. Joe, I feel like someone's going to beat you up at some point for saying that, to be real.
Well, this is an audio podcast. We don't record in person, so there's no
Maybe
one
we
to.
Should. Maybe we should.
One day. You heard it here first. Actually, on my other podcast, we have plans to record a live episode once the quarantine is over. We're going to go to a bar and actually record live.
Interesting.
That's exciting.
You can check that out at theonlytiktokpodcast.com. But
by the way, Haley, when's the Lavender Town podcast coming?
Oh, man. Actually, I've thought about it. My sister's really into podcasts, and like she just loves the idea of them. And we talked literally about doing like a kind of a surrealist fiction podcast, because a lot of people say they like my voice, and I thought that would be fun, but I can barely do what I'm already doing, so that's probably quite a ways off.
Oh, thank you for inviting us as your first guests. I really appreciate that. That's so nice.
It's a fiction podcast, so that you'll have to play a character, I guess. But yeah, that
would be like a fiction podcast, like it's not real?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I guess we can kind of wind things down here if you guys want, or we can keep going if
you've
got stuff.
Why don't we have one more segment on useless superpowers? We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, we haven't done that in a minute. Are you aware of what those are, Haley?
Is it like a superpower that's not very good?
Right.
Yeah.
Or either actively harmful or just not very useful.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay, sure.
So my useless superpower is the ability to shit a unicorn.
Oh, okay.
So we had a deep discussion. Should we actually get into it now, Joe?
Yeah, we might as well. I feel like we all know each other at this point.
Okay.
In the chat, somebody says, God damn it, here we go.
Here we go. Okay, so I looked it up last night, and so apparently a newborn baby horse is approximately 100 pounds, and that's like for small baby horses. They can go up to 200 pounds or more.
Now, people in the chat are saying this sounds very useful, but just wait until we flesh this out a little bit more.
Okay, so there's a couple things to consider.
And I will play the devil's advocate at the end.
Okay, so you guys realize that a unicorn has a long, sharp horn.
Yes.
And it comes out with the rest of it when it comes out of your butt.
Wait, is that how rhinoceroses work? I thought, wouldn't a unicorn develop its horn later?
I don't know enough about unicorn lore to...
What about narwhals?
That's interesting. That does change things. Right? I feel like still having a 200-pound horse come out of your ass is still going to be unpleasant.
No,
well, to play the Dan Cameron advocate, I would say yes.
The thing is, okay, here's my thing about that. I would say that it's still a mythical creature that people would be very excited to see. So the surgical costs involved might be offset by the fact that you've created a life that doesn't, like, was thought to be mythical, you know?
Yeah, but you would die.
Oh, a little bit, but...
What do you mean a little bit?
It would come out thrashing.
Oh.
Through your anus.
Okay.
It's not like a vagina where it's like designed to open up a little
Lars,
bit.
Vaginas are not designed to handle 100-pound horses either.
But a little bit more so, it's coming out of your butt.
Well,
so
I feel like either way would be devastating.
Yes, they would.
This is going to be, no matter what hole it's coming out of, it's going to hurt your body, probably kill you.
Somebody in the chat says an anus can stretch 8 inches. First of all, no. Second of all, how would you know that?
Also, even if that's true, it's a baby horse is a lot bigger than 8 inches.
8 inches?
Oh, someone posted a picture. It does show that the rhinoceros does not have the horn at birth.
But we're not talking a rhinoceros. We're talking
a unicorn
horse.
Right. Okay.
So it is it different? We don't have anything to compare it to.
What's
my main concern, I noted last night, is that even if you survive this, every time you went outside, your butt would whistle. So it's kind of awkward.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
let's
wow.
Let's move on from this, by the way. Let's enough let's mental images.
I would say that my useless superpower would have to be something along the lines of being able to... Oh, I don't know. Actually, can we circle back? Do you have one at the ready, Haley?
A useless superpower?
Yeah, if not, yeah. I'll go. If not, I'll go.
I just need to... So is this one that you feel like fits you as a person? Or like, is just it just any. One to come up with? Okay.
Just any that comes to mind.
I mean, I feel like the ability to just like make any room like 1 degree cooler or hotter, but you can't control it. Something so incredibly boring that like if you told people, they'd be like, okay, you know,
so
like,
chaotic. So you can't, so it's just out of, it's your, the room is constantly going up and down
in
temperature.
It's fluctuating, but 1 degree, like you can't even barely tell. Like,
oh, I thought you meant like 1 degree at a time where it could go from like 32 to 108.
Well, that's bad. Like, I mean, that'd be a good one because, you know, you could make it like inhospitable in like 15 minutes. So, you know, there's that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like both versions of that. Joe, do you have one?
Teachers. I would say.
Teachers?
I would say, huh?
Did you just say teachers?
Teachers.
Is that a... Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, gosh. I would say that my useless superpower would have to be the ability to successfully take money out of the ATM, but that whatever money I take out of the ATM, I lose. So I can withdraw money from the ATM that I'm always going to misplace, and that's my useless superpower.
I have that in real life.
Oh, really?
I don't keep cash because I drop it almost all the time. It's really bad.
Do you just keep the loose bills like
I always
paper
put
clipped
it...
to the outside of your pocket?
Well, the thing is, okay, so like I always pick things for like cuteness over function. So like all of my bags are like, you know, they have like big gaps in them and they're like all, you know, they're just bad. So like the money just flies out or like I spend it immediately. So it's kind of like I lost it. So that's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe a functional wallet would be a solution to this, but what do I know? That's fine.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah?
Let's say that someone wanted to wear our podcast. What's the best way to do that?
Merch.t1podcast.com. And I'm glad that you brought this to my attention, Lars, because we have a thriving marketplace only available at merch.t1podcast.com where you can purchase shirts, sweatshirts, phone cases, pillowcases, I think. No. We sell them in all sizes. Anyway, merch.t1podcast.com.
Assuming money isn't constantly flying out of your pockets and such, go to merch.t1podcast.com to wear the podcast. And one more thing.
Yeah.
If people, you're right there.
Well, I was just mimicking you.
Okay.
You'll hear it in post.
All right, bud.
You'll hear a lot in post.
Guys, if you have 6 cents a day extra and you want to help support the show in a way that gets you bonus episodes of the podcast that no one else gets to hear except our other patrons, early listening privileges, 2 episodes as soon as they're done being edited, sometimes weeks in advance, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat where we have private conversations and kind of mock the plebs a little bit, and more. You can go to patreon.com/T1podcast today.
Patreon.com/T1podcast. We really appreciate your continual support of only 6 cents a day or more. You could be the first to join our $1,000 tier.
You could.
Join our Lars Gets a Tesla tier.
Yeah, the $15,000 tier. In 2 months, I can afford one.
I don't know why we both can't have a Tesla, but...
Well, Joe, it's called the Lars Gets a Tesla tier, not the Joe Gets a Tesla tier.
It's fine. I don't want a Tesla anyway.
Oh, bullshit. Joe, if someone showed up with a Tesla at your door... You'd be like, no.
Of course I want a Tesla, Lars.
All right, bud. Haley, if people
Haley,
wanted to check out
do you want
your
a Tesla?
Yeah.
Anyone
course.
Would want a Tesla.
Dude, I'll take the Cybertruck at this point.
I really want a Cybertruck.
It's I so want a Tesla. Dumb.
I love it.
It looks so cool.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I want a Tesla?
Haley, if people wanted to check out your stuff, what's the best way to do that?
Just type in Lavender Town into any social media platform, and you'll either find me or someone who's imitating me. So it's a win-win kind of situation. No, like YouTube, and Twitter and Instagram are really my main three. So yeah, I'm named the same on all of them. So
how do you spell that?
It's Lavender and then Town, and then you add an E that shouldn't be there.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Well, Haley, it was a blast to have you on the show. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, thank you for coming on. It was great to get to talk to you and get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, Joe, you sounded surprised. You're like, what? Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming on. Yeah.
Pastor Herbert Blodd, one day the devil comes, his name Dan Cameron. When the sunrise meets the earth, Dan's wrath has finally come. I ask myself before I sleep, who is Satan? His scion hair and lifeguard job. Is Dan Satan? He puffs and smokes and sells spirits. Dan Cameron, fuck you, Dan Cameron. You are literally the devil. I took the risk, I paid the price that night on Pacific Coast Highway.
Wait, hold on. There's a weird ringing sound when I talk. Let me figure out what's going on with that.
Is your telephone, is it like ring ring, like your phone's going off?
No, it's like it's reflecting, my voice is reflecting off of something.
Reflecting off a mirror? Like, what are you talking about?
Is it the glass? Let me see.
Why are you making these weird noises, Lars? This isn't like you.
Because I'm trying to trigger it, because I know that when I yell on the episode, it's gonna make a ringing noise.
Well, maybe for once you won't yell on the episodes. Maybe this is the universe telling you not to yell on the episodes, Lars.
I'm just trying to diagnose where it's coming from.
When you do that, you frighten me. You frighten me, Lars.
Okay. All right. I'm ready if you guys are.
Everybody in the chat, type 5 if it frightens you when Lars yells. I can't be the only one, right?
Joe, relax. Your pills?
All right.
All right. All right. Joe, lead her in.